In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. The rich man who came to Jesus was obviously a pious and God-loving person. He was following the commandments in the best way that he knew how. He wanted to know how to enter into the kingdom of God. And Jesus told him to follow the commandments. He said that I followed all of these commandments since my youth up. He could recite the commandments, something that many of us couldn't even do. But there was one thing more, Jesus said, because he saw that the man really wanted to go beyond simply the following of those commandments. Now we could think, when we read these passages, the man was trying to justify himself. And in some readings, that's the sense that we get. But not necessarily. The man, after all, when he was told that he needed to sell all of his riches and follow Jesus, was sorrowful. He wanted what he had come to Jesus and asked for. But he had the difficulty of being bound by the very riches that most likely enabled him to be able to fulfill many of the commandments in the traditional Jewish way more effectively than a poor person might do. In the Holiness Code, for example, there are things that you are asked to do, although we're not talking about them here in these passages, that if you offended your neighbor or your brother, you would take a sacrifice to the temple and offer it. A poor person would find it more difficult than a rich person might. But in the case of this rich person, there is someone who really wanted to enter into the kingdom of God. The real point of this exchange between Jesus and the rich man, and later on between Jesus and his apostles, however, may lie elsewhere altogether. When Jesus comments that it is so very difficult for someone who is bound to the treasures of this world to enter into the kingdom of God, they say, who can enter then into the kingdom of God? How can this be overcome? And Jesus responds in a very interesting way. He says, with men, this is impossible. But with God, all things are possible. With God, all things are possible. What on earth can he mean? We can do things along with God that we cannot do ourselves, relying on our own possessions, our riches, our wealth, our position in the world. We can fulfill all of the externals according to the way of the world and still not enter into the kingdom of God. Entering into the kingdom of God, after all, means being at one with God the Father. Now, this man is not in a position to know that. But then Jesus did tell him, sell all you have. It won't do what you want. And come and follow me. What would Jesus have done with the man if he had followed him? He would have done with this man the same thing that Jesus, the Christ, does with all of us. St. John Chrysostom describes what God does with us by using the example of a dirty and tarnished statue filled with rust that's eaten into the metal so that you can no longer even see that this was a statue cast of gold. And he says what God does with us is as if the artist had taken the statue and cleaned it all, scoured it, he says. Scoured the statue and recast it. Cast it all over again so that it was as it was created in the beginning. Bright and shiny and new. with no rust on it. That's what he would have done with the man. Following the commandments will not accomplish that for us. There is one more thing that needs to be done. You must die to this world. And Jesus offered that to the man, even at this early point in his ministry. And if he had followed Christ, that in the end is what would have happened to him. In so many cases in the gospel, we hear stories of those who meet Jesus. And later on we find out they became great evangelists who spread the gospel of Christ and the fact that we must die to this world and be remade to be as we were created to be in the beginning. Created in the beginning. Sometimes if we say created to be in the beginning, we have maybe the sense that we can somehow improve ourselves and become more like we were created to be in the beginning. And that maybe that's what the spiritual life is like. But the spiritual life begins with an end of the old life. And what we heard from St. Paul today in his letter in the Colossians, he begins by telling the Colossians, when Christ comes again, you will be there with him in glory. We are united to Christ. Our pure and perfect life has been returned to us. We have been recast in shining gold by our union of ourselves to God. All of the old rust, all of the old tarnish, all of the old sins, they have nothing to do with us anymore. We are pure and perfect with the purity and perfection of Christ himself. But then Chrysostom goes on to say, once the statue is recast, once we have been baptized into the light of God himself, once we are able to receive food from the table of God, tarnish will still come after the work that God did that no one else could do, that we could never have done. That no matter how closely the rich man who loved God followed those commandments, he would never have been able to get rid of the fact that something total needed to be done with us as human beings in order to make us as we were created to be. God comes into the world and he accomplishes that. We are baptized into his life and recast. And the person that God created, that each one of us is, that person is made again, made new. But there is the rest of our lives. We have to go on and we have to take care that we don't let the life of the old Adam, the old man, return to our members so that we reunite the members of our bodies, our eyes and our ears and our hands and our feet, that we don't reunite the members of our body to the old body, the old Adam, so that the tarnish returns and covers up the gold that God recast. St. Paul says that there is a body of this world, an earthly body of earthly members, that the life of that earthly body with earthly members, the old Adam, for that body, those members are involved with fornication and lust and desire and passion and lies and deception. And do we have to put all those things off? We have to scour them ourselves. We have to reject them. Otherwise, we will lose the life that God recreated us in order to be able to live. Our difficulty, too many times in our lives, is that we identify with the old Adam still, and we think somehow the old Adam is going to be improved. Well, that's not what's happening. That's not what has happened to us as Christians. The old Adam is melted down, recast. The life that God created for us, He recreates in us. The person that I am is that pure and shining gold person that God created. The person that each one of you is that person. We are not the old Adam any longer. We need to struggle not to identify with the things of the old Adam's body. This is something that is understood as being possible even by that great teacher of the Western Christian Church that Orthodox often point out. Well, he taught against synergy. Jesus was saying to the man, all things are possible with God, with synergy. In synergy with God, all things are possible. And we say about St. Augustine, well, he taught against synergy. But even St. Augustine said this, the soul can make progress in virtue by refusing to consent things of the old Adam. The tarnish comes in when we consent to lust or temptations that we somehow, hopefully temporarily, identify with as the real person. Well, I have this problem. I'm constantly drawn toward this. I'm constantly drawn toward that. The battle is already lost. If we think that that is who we are, the person who lusts, the person who hates, the person who has anger, then we are going to consent to anger. But God did not recreate a person, ourselves, as a person who consents to anger. That is tarnish on the gold that God has recast us to be. And we don't have to consent to those things. That's the spiritual struggle. That's the spiritual battle. If even Augustine, who we say, well, he didn't believe divinization was possible, to be like God is not possible, it was lost in the fall. Even Augustine knew from his own experience that if we only do not consent to those things that tempt us, the soul can grow in virtue. The soul can progress in virtue. God did the part that no one could do to remake us, to recast us. That's been done. But it is our responsibility to be vigilant about those temptations that drag us back into the life of the old Adam. The spiritual life consists then in constantly thinking of Christ when we think of ourselves. When we think of ourselves, we think of the one that God has saved by recasting us into pure gold. No rust, no tarnish. That is the person that we truly are. And to defend the purity and the perfection of that soul and the body that we live with in the world, as God has purified us. We can do that part. The enemy will tempt us to think that all of the business about our having been remade into a new person, putting on the new man, is all nonsense. Of course, we don't think these things, but inside of ourselves, we identify with the old Adam. We ought not identify with the one who is constantly being tempted. So, well, here I go again, you know, it's just the way I am. It's a lie. It's a lie that we have accepted from the enemy. That is not the way we are. The way we are is the way God has recreated us. Things aren't as bad as we think. But we're not doing our part so long as we consent to things that are foreign to us. Underneath the blemish of that particular action that we have been doing is still the golden person that God has recreated. However the enemy may cloud our mind, however confused we may become, However, we may remember our old life and think, well, that's really who I still am. It is not true. It is a lie told to us by one who hates God and wants us to hate God. And if we identify with that old Adam that we used to be before we entered into the life of Christ, we too will hate God. We too will want to turn our back on Him. We too will want to wallow in whatever temptation it is that gives us such difficulty, whether it's anger or whatever it is. Refusing to give consent to that temptation, whatever it happens to be, takes the kind of courage that St. Paul recommends to us. He reminds us of our high calling to begin with. When Christ returns, you will be with Him in glory. Therefore, put off all these things that are foreign to you. Anger and lust and lying to others. Lying is maybe a good example because the way he puts it in his epistle, it's clear that he's saying, don't deceive others that you are with. Don't be false with others. When we do that, we are accepting something, we are consenting to something, as St. Augustine would say, that is foreign to our nature, and certainly to the nature of God. Foreign to the life that we have entered into when God recast us into that pure goal. Deceiving others is betraying ourselves, that other person, and God. Those things are foreign to the one who is going to be with Christ when He returns. That's the person we actually are. And so maybe we can make this minor adjustment to the way we think about the spiritual life. We tend to think of the spiritual life as gradually improving ourselves. There is no gradual improvement of the old Adam. If we identify with the old man, then the battle is lost. God cannot improve the old man into a better condition. The old man has got to die. That's not the person that we were created to be. That's not the life that we were created to live. There is a new man, a new life. That is who we are, and that is the life that we are created to live. Consenting to anything else is repented of because it's foreign to who we actually are. It's a different way of understanding the spiritual life and who we are. The old man is much more familiar to us than the new. St. Paul says at the end of the passages that we heard this morning, put on the new man that was created by God. This new man or this new woman, this new person that God created, that's the person God created. God did not create the old man. He didn't create us as we were when we were living and walking in a life of sinful passions, as St. Paul calls them. He talks about how you used to walk in the world according to these sinful passions. That is no longer the walk of your life. Cast these things off. They're foreign to you. You have put on, past tense, you have put on the new man that God has created. He's talking about each one of us. Each one of us as someone who has been baptized and entered into the life in Christ. Unless we are deluded and we're thinking in the old man style way. You know, and that's very possible. Each one of us who has been baptized into the life in Christ is that new person. That's who we are, and we need to defend the purity and the perfection of that person who is united and at one with God. It's a completely different way of life. God created us to live in that way, and Christians are baptized into that life, to live that way. It is possible to live that life. And our sins and our failings are temporary fallings away from the purity of that life that God has given us. They need to be cleansed away by confession and repentance and returning to a oneness with God and our integrity. We have an integrity. It's not the integrity of the old man that we mostly identify with. It's the integrity, the only integrity that we can have, the integrity that we have as the new person that has been recast, golden, pure, and shining, the one who is the new man, the one that God created. God has recreated each one of us. Our loyalty needs to be to that person whom we are. That person's life is the life that we want, that we want to reach the point that we are concerned about losing. Once we're tempted by sin, we turn away from God and we're concerned about the life of the old Adam. That's lost. There's no possibility there. We need to be concerned about losing the new life of the new person that we are. And cleansing ourselves from every defilement of that new person. Refusing to consent to anything that would drag us back into the old life. So when we think about our spiritual lives, and we think about who we are, let's learn to recognize the fact that who we are is who we are at one with God. And anything else is an illusion. It's not who we are. We are not people who are lost in anger, or hatred, or lust, or suspicion, or devious ways of living. That's not who we are. We are who we are, at one with God, recast and remade as the person God created. Not the person we created, the old Adam, but the person God created. That's the person that we are. God didn't create any other kind of persons. That's the only kind of persons God created. So each one of us has that life. We are baptized into the life in Christ so that that person can live their life. Let's learn to protect the purity and the integrity and the beauty of soul of that person whom we are that God created in His own image and likeness. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.